Even if you are a visitor, help us celebrate our pastors. Praise God. Praise God. And then be seated in God's wonderful presence. Okay, I'm just going to share a bit. I've just been thinking a lot. I've been thinking a lot about a lot of things. I don't know, maybe because of today. And of course, I'll say today is my spiritual birthday, so. Thank you. Thank you. It's not easy. It's not easy to be born again. So today is my spiritual birthday. So about 30 years ago, I gave my life to Christ. About 7 p.m. So it's about this time. Yeah. So today is kind of special. But I've been thinking about a lot of things. I've been thinking about how faithful God is if you surrender your life to Him. I've been thinking about how just that one decision, you know, that one decision altered everything in my life. You know, the school I went to, because at some point I was supposed to go to UNILAG, but for some reason I felt God say to me I should stay in Ife because that's where my destiny would be fulfilled. And there were a lot of things I learned, a lot of, you know, a lot of hours spent praying in sports center. There's just something about there was something about the climate in Ife. There's a spiritual climate in Ife. I don't know if it's still like that now, but back then there was just something about the atmosphere. And all those things, you know, were a build up of some of the things that, you know, that God has laid in my heart even today. And then even from that point on, to the person I married, Pastor Kay shared a bit of my story, and so I'm trying not to even go into all of that. But, you know, even to the person that I married, because I was already going my way, and then God intercepted me and said, the person that you're with is not your husband. I believe I've shared that story here before. So from that point on, to who I should actually marry, to now having my children, because doctors had told me that I wouldn't have children. I've also shared that story here before. So you see, I've come here too much. Maybe we shouldn't come next year because we don't have story again. So even down to that, my entire journey, even down to what I do today, some of the prophecies that had gone forth over my life, you know how you can just give someone the car, not Jesus take the willow, Jesus take the car. Then you just balance. So that's really what I want to talk to you about today, you know. And marriage is so important. It's so important that even from the very beginning, Genesis, you see that God started with marriage. You know, He started with a wedding ceremony, if you ask me. Adam and Eve. And Adam was alone in the garden, and Adam didn't know that he needed a wife. And that's one of the things I love about God. How you can just be on your own minding your business, and God will reveal His plan for you. And so Adam did not know that he needed a wife, but God Himself said, it's not good for this man to be alone. The way he is, you know, bath, you know, kumbe, you know, bro, you know, he needs a helper. He needs someone that will remind him from time to time, wash your clothes, iron it, you know, someone that will say, eat balanced diets. You know, so God just thought, it's better for me to make. But God didn't just say, I'm going to make him and I'm going to impose on him. God gave him the freedom to pick who he wanted. God brought lion. And it was what he called that animal that it became. He said, this is lion. God said, okay, you don't want this one. It's no wife. Fine. He brought giraffe. He said, this one, your neck is too long. I won't be able to kiss easily. Okay, so this one is giraffe. And it was exactly that. God did not get involved. God said, I'm giving you the freedom. Remember, Pascal talked to us that yesterday. I'm giving you the freedom to decide who you want to be. And then they saw that there was not any suitable helpmeet for him. Nobody here fit him. Nobody was suitable for him. Nobody could adapt to him easily. Because I don't think the lion can multitask. I may be wrong, but God said, this one, there's nobody here. And so God decided to take from the man and make him a helper that will be suitable for him. As when I read that scripture sometimes, it shows me that you are the person that determines who you end up with. So instead of looking for the right person, you need to be the right person. Because it was what was inside Adam that they brought out of him to create someone for him. Which is why I find it very amusing when men and women are quarreling, maybe husband and wife, and the husband says, you are a witch. And I'm just there sitting, look at the material you gave God to work with. So if she's a witch, you are probably what? A wizard. So Adam, finally, they brought the woman to him. And do you know that if Adam had said, this one is house girl, that's what she would be. Because God gave him the freedom. And that's really how the relationships in our life should be. And I know Pascal shared that here before. It's not everyone that comes into your life that you should date. And the only reason why people do that is because we've not learned to live our life submitted to God. If you live your life in a way that is only what God says that you do, you see, there's already a map. The reason why we're struggling so hard is because we're not following the plan. God has a plan. He knows exactly what you should do when you are 2, what you should do when you are 6. I gave my life to Christ at 13. I strongly believe that if I had not given my life to Christ at that point, it may have become hard. Because I have the tendency to be very self-righteous and judgmental. Because I'm naturally a very, very moral person. My husband always teases me. He says, so it's not Jesus that you're a good person, Abi. It's just, you're just good. That's why you feel the rest of us are bad. There are people like that. I won't lie. I'm not going to steal your money. I'm very content. I'm not jealous. So anything you like do on social media, it doesn't bother me. So there are examples Pastor K gives, and I know they're generally true, but they're not me. Somebody buy a car for a wife. I say, somebody come and say, see your mate. Happy birthday. That's all. I'm not moved at all. People block people on social media because, oh, she's oppressing. I'm not moved, though. You are doing well. It doesn't bother me in the least. Do you understand? So I could have been one of those people who believe that since I don't lie, I don't steal, as I'm getting older, it will be concretized, like I don't need Jesus. I don't know if you know what I mean. So God knows that this at this point where you are still tender is when I can reach you. And you, because the thing I will use to reach you is sickness. It was instant healing that got me saved. I was ill and a friend of mine prayed for me. I got instantly healed. And that's how I gave my life to Christ. So the reason why you are struggling so much, you date this one, come out. You date that one, come out. Because you don't want to hear. It's not that God is not speaking. It's that we're not listening. Because from the very beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, he said he will come in the cool of the evening to fellowship with them. Do you know, the other day I was reading the book of Leviticus, and he was telling them that when you go outside to use the toilet, he said, carry a stick, and when you finish, dig a hole and cover the excrement. He said, because God walks in the midst of you, lest he sees anything that is unclean. I say, what? So for a long time we've had the impression that after the Garden of Eden that God was not really coming to fellowship with people. But that's not true. Even when they were in the camp, they were outside, they just came out of Egypt. He said, don't let God see poo-poo. Meaning that God is passing. So God is still interested in speaking. He doesn't want you to suffer. That's the whole reason why Jesus came, that you will have life, that you will enjoy this life, that you will live that life till it is full and overflowing. But we want to struggle for nothing. So after God did that, even though, I mean, it didn't completely turn out well, because Eve got there, Adam himself seemed to be looking at her, he don't work her again. So he was not gisting with her. Somebody now came and was gisting with her. Says, how fine girl, how are you? She said, I'm fine. Where's your husband? I don't know, he's somewhere. Come, did God really say you should know it from this fruit? She now said, that's not really what he said, though. She has started gisting. And this even happens today. A lot of men are not looking out for their wives. There are some people that should not be in relationships with your wife. There are some people you should not allow to come to your house. Because when they start that gist, they will turn her head. That's exactly what happened to Eve. Talk to your wives. Husbands, are there men in the house? Are there married men in the house? Talk to your wives. Have conversations. If you don't know what to say, say, you don't mean it. Wow. Just be doing, I'm telling you, she's not, she's okay. And after a while, if you don't know what to say again, just put her head here, lie down. Don't be doing like, as if you are, say, honey, are you listening to me? Of course. Be watching your match, nothing there happen. Because she doesn't even really need you to add to the conversation. She just needs somebody there. And the Bible says that Adam was even there. I believe, if you look, because Adam was not deceived. Bible tells us in the New Testament that Adam was not deceived. It was the woman that was deceived. So Adam was probably there. He looked over and saw her talking. He said, thank God. Make another person the gist with me. I don't even tire. I was doing another thing. That's why all of us are where we are today. Because he didn't want stress. And then when she came, she has entered problem. Instead of you to solve the problem, if I leave only her, how will she feel? That's what a lot of men do. A lot of men are complicit in the wrongs that their wives are doing. There are some women I see on social media, some things that they are doing. I'm asking, they're not girls bound for us. Because there are some things I can't even wear outside my room, talk less of outside my house. There's a way your husband will look at you. Real husband, though. Not the one they are selling these days, real one. There's a way he will look at you, you will know that, you look at yourself and go back inside. There are things wives are doing also. You know, there was a time when being a married woman kind of just insinuated honor. That's why in your office, I don't know about you, okay, when I started working those days, somebody was like, say, I really talk to her like that. Don't you know she's a married woman? And those days, I used to think about that, she's a married woman. But then it occurred to me that those days, if you were married, people considered you responsible and honorable. But you know that's not the case today. And that's because men are missing. A lot of men are missing. I don't want to tell her. I don't know how she will take it. How will she take it? She will not die. The truth does not kill anybody. The truth sets free. And so from that first point, it showed that marriage was so important. The person you marry can destroy you or can make you. Imagine if Adam had married someone that immediately the serpent started talking to her. She just shouted. She immediately shouted, Adam, come and see, oh, come and see animal that is talking. We will be here today. She continued, geez, they said, smell the apple. She smelled, not apple. Smell the fruit. She smelled the fruit. Taste the fruit. She tasted the fruit. You have already put it near your mouth. Kukuma eat it. She ate. And then she took it to her husband. I said, honey, eat. He said, is that not the thing? They said, eat. You talk too much. Eat too swallow. And he not even, she just swallowed the thing. Yeah, Adam's apple. Let's take responsibility for each other. That's what a one marriage is supposed to do for you. You're supposed to be a better version of yourself when you get married. And so if you fast forward from the Garden of Eden and move down to Jesus, Jesus shows up, God in the flesh. He shows up, and the very first time he's going to do a miracle, guess where he does it again? At a wedding. Marriage. Marriage is important. Now, this wedding is one of the most fascinating things for me in the Bible. And I want us to read it together, then I'll share a bit on it. So I read from John 2. I want to read the NKJV. I never read King James, but I mean, let's try. From verse 1, it says, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. So Jesus didn't escort his mother, contrary to many of the children's stories we've heard. This one, it was Jesus and his disciples that were invited. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, what did she say? Whatever he says to you, do it. Verse 6 says, now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. And Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine. And when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior says, you have kept the good wine until now. And that's how Jesus began to manifest his glory in Cana of Galilee. Now, first time Jesus was going to do a miracle was at a wedding. Now, the interesting thing about this, you can see a lot of principles for a happy marriage from this story. Very simple story, very simple narrative. In fact, if you don't look very closely, you can even miss it. But you can really find a lot of principles. So number one, the first thing I noticed about this couple was even though they had a lot of wedding planning to do, they had to pay for venue, they had to pay for cake, they had to pay caterer, they had to pay decorator. They did all of that. But they did not make the mistake of not inviting Jesus. Do anything you want to do. Buy your wedding dress from anywhere. Buy your wedding band from anywhere. But if you really want your marriage to work, you better make sure that Jesus is at that wedding. You better make sure that Jesus is an honored guest at your wedding. You must start your relationship or your marriage with Jesus first. That's the first thing these people did right. Jesus appeared at that wedding. Now, as Jesus was at that wedding, his mother was there as well. And then something happened. The couple ran out of wine at their wedding. See, after some time in marriage, you know, there's something we call, I've forgotten what they call it, but there are certain stages in your marriage, certain years, what do they call this thing? There's one thing in particular called Zisha. Certain years in your marital lifetime that there are crisis, potential crisis years. So the first year marriage, usually couples fight a lot. The fifth year, the seventh year, the 13th year, there's a way Pascal has those things. He's the relationship expert. We're just escorting him. But I found out that there must be certain times in your marriage where the wine will run out. You see, that first year, especially what they call the honeymoon stage, where people just start marriage, things are usually rosy, especially in relationship, you're in love, everything is rosy, you're planning a wedding, everybody's happy, he loves me, I see the stars and the moon in his eyes, when she opens her mouth, the fragrance of heaven comes out, I see my children in her eyes, she's the wind beneath my wings, you know those things that people say, they tell you romantic nothings, all those things. Then you go, come reach us. Count the money they spread, it's not enough to pay event planner, photographer, then it now occurs to you that life has started. And you see all those people that put you in problem. All those aunties that say, when will you marry? All those aunties that say, we must do this ashwebi. All your friends that say, no, you can't wear this dress. There's this designer. All of them have gone to their houses. Nobody is helping you pay the bills. And then life starts. And let me tell you, when life starts, you will start to quarrel about the things that you didn't even know were possible. Who will take those being outside? All of a sudden, you will realize that marriage is much more than I love you, you love me. There's work involved. So you will get home, and then you start annoying each other. All of a sudden, you go to bed. If you did it the Christian way, you probably didn't go to his room, you didn't sleep over, nothing. So after that, you are now married, you now go to his room. You now want to sleep in the night. The man now change gear for you. And you are a light sleeper. But you didn't have that conversation because you don't know he snores. And so you wake up in the morning. In fact, you didn't wake up because you didn't sleep. And then he wakes up after annoying you all night and turns over and wants to kiss you, bad breath. Then you are angry. You know the anger, that one that comes from the toes, that coming up. Before you know it, wine will not even finish. You won't remember that you brought wine into the wedding. Then in-laws will now start their own. Everybody is placing a demand on you. You are stressed from work. You are stressed from traffic. Okay, you can't be stressed from traffic in Abuja. You are stressed. Please, people should not annoy me, please. Please, I'm begging you. If you have any traffic, it's that Lagos people visit you. You don't have traffic. Just face your front. And then there's stress at work. There's stress everywhere. And you come home. You are frustrated. And then you get home and the man's asking, so what we eat now? I'm tired, though. And then on top of that, maybe you now grudgingly go to the kitchen. You organize yourself. Try to find something for you to eat. Then you are tired. You bring it. And he came home before you were sitting there. He's watching TV. Then you jab, be nice, because you are a new wife. You want to behave yourself so that you, at least your bride price will be worth it. You now drop the food, go inside to go and sleep. As you want to sleep, they take light. Then you now shout, honey, did you buy diesel? Then he now say, ah, no, I didn't remember to buy diesel. Ah, and it's too late for me to go out now. Then you are sweating, you are hot, you now open the window, mosquito is biting you, everything, then you now come and be touching from back, honey. The wine will so run out. So this couple, their wine ran out. But the good thing was that they had an advocate at the wedding. And that's what the Holy Spirit really is. The Holy Spirit is the only person I know that does not mind his business. You will be having problem. You did not talk to him. He will just go and meet Jesus on your behalf. That, see this girl, she's having problem in her office. That old guy is disturbing her. So let's do something now. Jesus say, yeah now. Now you hold knife, now you hold yam, yeah. So without, the couple did not have to go to Jesus. They just invited Jesus there. And see, that's another thing I love about Jesus. Even if he looks like, I'm not supposed to do it for you, he will still do it. That's how much love he has. And so the mother of Jesus said something, which is the most crucial thing. If I'm going to tell you anything that is a secret in having a marriage without tears, she said to them, whatever he tells you to do, do it. He was still saying, my time has not come, madam, don't tell me what to do, don't put me, don't disturb me. She said, anything he tells you to do, do it. Is this not this my son that when I'm bathing him, water will pass? Don't worry, anything he said, do it. Do it. If I come and say, hey, the only two loaves of bread, before I come, I'll see 25. He said, don't worry. I'll fish on top, safe. He said, just don't worry. Anything he tells you to do, do it. And that's the same thing I'm telling you. Anything that Jesus tells you to do in marriage, do it. Let the voice of Jesus be the loudest voice in your marriage. I'll say it again. Let the voice of Jesus be the loudest voice in your marriage. And listen for instruction. Every time I look at the word of God, and that's why, you see, anybody that knows me knows I love the word of God. Because it's so, I like simple life. I don't like stress. I don't like stress, so I'm such a, forget how they fight, but I'm a baby girl for life. Oh. Aish. I did not come to this life to suffer at all. You see that scripture that says that I came that you may have life? Eh? I'm a chop life gang. I'm the HOD. Enjoyment. Soft life. Do you get? Instruction is in the Bible so you won't suffer. But because, you see, even I think it's also, I'm not even sure it's just general. You see, human beings a problem, but Nigerians, if something is not hard, we don't think it's okay. I don't know. Nigerians like to suffer. They can say that if I just come down the stairs, somebody will say, before you come down, go around, turn around three times, somersault, then pass like this. That's the only way to authentically come down. Why can't I just take two steps and come down? In Nigeria, they must make it hard. So generally, we as human beings, we like suffer. The Bible will tell you that you, husbands, love your wife. Love her. It's simple. It's not even hard. Say, you know, say, me, I don't know how to love. A to Z of marriage. Go and buy it there. Pastor K has helped you to do the work. Go, it's there. It's easy. You say, I don't know how to love. It's okay. Do you know how to love yourself? You say, yes. Then love your neighbor, who is your wife, as you love yourself. They're not even asking you to do more than that. Anything you do for yourself, do for her. That's the easiest thing. He said, love your wife the same way you love yourself. He said, no man hates himself as much as to beat himself. I've never seen a man that will say, I'm such a fool. I'm just, in fact, this business decision, what I do today, I'm an idiot. It's like, never. But your wife will do small thing. How will she? You go to swear. How will she? You slap. I can't control my temper. But if you see soldier, you know they fit shout too. So are you selective about controlling your temper? Because you're a bully. The Bible says, love your wife as your own self. They're not saying more than yourself, as yourself. So how do you love yourself? You take care of yourself. If you need something, you buy it. Abby? If your wife needs something, so you will now be looking that, does she need something? Go and buy it, sir. You want to make progress in your life, so you take courses. You do. Men are very good at planning out things they want to do. Just the same plan you're doing for yourself, plan your wife's own too. That's all. Love her. It's only a demonic woman that will not respect you if you love her. Only a demon. Women only fight with submission when the man is mean. If the man is petting them, doing everything, the way sir will be coming out of our mouth. Is this Onida and greet you in the morning? We need that. There's nothing there. Oh. But it's because you yourself, you are hard to, you are a wicked man. You are wicked and you are difficult. So every time she wants to even do something for you, or she wants to even respect you, she will just remember that you're a wicked man. Something inside her will just resist and say, this wicked man, I ain't one. If you lie down, that man will match you, go die. That's why. I'm telling you, that's why you must ask any woman. If she wants to tell you the truth, she will tell you. The only reason why a woman will fight with submission is because she believes that if I do mumu pass this one, why they do, this man will kill me. But if it's a good man, you will never hear people that are married to good men say that submission is bad. As we're going now, we're leaving this place, we're going to the UK. Pasuke say he wants to fly business class. How will I not submit to it? I'm very submitted though. Say he wants to fly business class. I say, you want to fly business class, sir? He say, yes, I want us to, you know, after we preach, have a few, maybe like 2 or 3 days to rest. Yes, sir. I think you are very, very wise, sir. I honor you, sir. It's very easy. Because that thing he's doing is benefiting me. But if, as he wants to enter the business class, he says I should go enter Molwe. I should drop at Benin Republic, trek small cross to enter Ghana. From there, I should enter boat, pass through Morocco. Then you say I should submit. Waiting up, there's way for me. That's what's causing problem, I'm telling you. But whatever he tells you to do, do it. What did he say you should do? Love your wife. Pet her. Deal with her with understanding. She's not like you. If you like sofa, she doesn't. Women are not created like that. If there's one car in the house, give her to drive it. Be trekking. That's love. That's love. The example they gave you was Jesus. Jesus laid down his life. You see, that's why it makes me laugh when men say I'm the head. The head has its own responsibility. Oh. The head must love. So if you are the head, yes, sir. You are the head, sir. You are eternally the head in Jesus' name. Can never even be the tail. Because the work of head, if you are doing it, you will never brag about it. People that brag about it never do the work. If you hear I'm the head of the home, you don't know I'm a man. It's not, he himself does not know he's a man. He doesn't know. Then you, on the other hand, as woman, they say submit to him. Don't make it hard for him to lead. For he say once, you say four. We want to do this. Why? Why must we the way you say? Don't I have a say in this home? Am I not also your, I'm the neck. You are the head, but I'm the neck. Auntie, calm down. Neck way no get head, no get you so. Submit. The two instructions are very clear and very easy. If everybody will do their own part, we'll be okay. Whatever it tells you to do, do it. So how do you know what it says you should do? Go to the word. You have to go back to the word. Study the word of God. And now he said to the servants, he looked and said that there are 6 water pots here. And he said to them, fill these water pots with water. And he said, fill it to the brim. Every time you read about water, the water talks about the word. In fact, funny enough, I think I was thinking about this morning. And I was thinking about how interesting it is that the woman at the well, you know, met Jesus. And then Jesus said to her that, if you know the person that is asking you for water, and I'm sure you know that story. So if you know the person that is asking you for water, that you will ask him to give you water, and the water that I give you will never thirst again. And this woman said, I beg that water, that will not come here to vegetar. They know gossip me. I beg, give me that water. But Jesus didn't say, oh yeah, bring your ifami, your fetching. We don't, see tomorrow, nobody has told me the name of that thing. That thing they used to draw water from where? Fetcher. Is that the best cigar? Say fetcher. Is it ifami? People don't have name. It's what? Fetching pay, drawer. Fetching pay. Drawer. Ifami. Isha, that thing that we used to draw water. Jesus didn't say, bring your buckets. Jesus said, go and call your husband. I thought about it. Yes, because there are some things that, you see, when God gives you that thing, if the person over you doesn't have sense, that water will be wasted. So Jesus was more interested in who will you be submitted to when I give you this thing I'm about to give you. So he said to them, fill it. Let's not even go down. That one is tomorrow message. He said, fill these buckets with water. And there were 6 water pots. And I was thinking about it. And God said to me, Holy Spirit, really, is there the one that does remember with me. So the Holy Spirit asked me, he said, 6 water pots. Don't you find that interesting? I said, not really, but I know you're going somewhere with this, so what are you trying to say? He said, these 6 water pots, there are 7 days in the week. And on the 7th day, which is considered the Sabbath day, you'll be in church, right? And the water represents the word. So he said, fill these 6 days on your own. Fill it with the word. On the 7th day, you won't need to fill it. Pastor Sunday will fill it for you. But you see, on Sunday, when he preaches, you are holding each other in church. You are charged up. Don't worry, baby, I got you. After all, pastor preached today, I will love you. I will love you. If you still love self. But on Monday morning, sir, you have to go and fill that water pot by yourself. You have to fill it to the brim. You have to fill it with the word. Go into the word and find out, what does the word say? Simple things, be kind and affectionate towards one another. A soft answer turns away wrath. God will be giving you small instructions. You fill up your water pot. Fill it to the brim. And then it says, draw from it. See, you can never draw from anything that is empty. If you don't fill yourself with the word, it's not what is in the word that will come out to. When you fill yourself with the word of God, character comes out. The fruit of the spirit. By the time you filled yourself with the word, on Monday morning you are patient. On Tuesday you are kind. On Wednesday you don't keep records of wrong. You are excited by Thursday. Excited that good things will happen to your spouse. You have the energy to stand by each other. You are reminded on Friday that a threefold cord is not easily broken. Because you have filled yourself up with the word. Don't play with the word of God in your marriage. Anything you need, the answer is in the word. And I know this because that's what has saved our marriage. One of the greatest secrets of our home. We've dealt with things you cannot even imagine. Whether it is money, there were times when we didn't even have toothpaste. And I'm coming from a Jabota household. So all those things were alien to me. I never had to use my faith. God had to teach me from the word. And he had to teach me patience. He had to teach me how to stand on the word and believe that if you give, it shall be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give to your bosom. And with the same measure with which you give, it will be given back to you. My husband said that to me, that our eyes opened. So if we want millions, we have to give him millions. So because I understood it, and because we had filled our water pots, what came out of me was faith. So even though I never needed to use my faith, the word had now been, and I said, this thing, we can work it. So I now started believing, and we started believing together. And we were saving together our first million. I didn't come and say, my friend is doing wedding, I want to buy a Shwebi. It's because she does not know that we have a project. That's why she's bringing nonsense gold, that you want to buy gold. And my friends are wearing gold. See my car, I've been driving for 5 years, until we're doing something. We are sowing so that we can reap. If 2 shall agree as touching anything, and you are in marriage, that's the highest form of agreement. You're wasting it. Fill your water pot with the word. Go into the word. We didn't have children. It was from the word. I filled my water pot. Doctor said it was not possible for me to have children. And even if I was going to have children, it can't be natural. There must be medical intervention. We do IVF. I don't even want to start to do that thing. God said no. No, your salvation will come from total dependence on me. I've shared that story many times here before. So it was still the word. I had to fill my water pot for that situation. Is it family interference? We had to fill our water pot. My mother-in-law and I initially, we did not hit it off well. I don't know why. I mean, who didn't love me? But when she said, no, like me says, I said, I don't really come here for you, so but God will be okay. Face your front, I face my front. And the Holy Spirit said to me, you can't do that, though. You cannot do that. You have to fill your water pot. So I went to look in the Bible to see who had mother-in-law that gave a wala. And I saw Ruth and Naomi. after Naomi's sons had died, Ruth still a follower. What do you want? You know, when you read that scripture, it's like you think that she's saying, go back. Even if I have a child for you now, will he grow? Somebody that had her two sons have died. And you are still following. She's remembering. She was bitter. Very bitter. She said, be going back. Even if I'm going, you won't come kill this one for me again. I beg they go. That one say, your God will be my God. She said, which your God? The first one say, see, I don't like insult in my life. Let's be going. Now say, go. This woman, I will follow her. Even as she was not treating her well. I can't imagine what that conversation must have been. The long trek back to Bethlehem. Because when she got back there, they say, Naomi. She said, don't call me Naomi. Oh. Call me Mara. I'm bitter. My life is bitter. I've lost everything. She was complaining. So imagine when she go down, they complain for road. But this girl say, your God will be my God. You know that thing we use for wedding vow? It's not a man and woman, no. It's daughter-in-law and mother-in-law. And so the Holy Spirit said to me, this is how you will love your mother-in-law. Love her to confusion. I say, hey God, this Holy Spirit, you didn't give person while, but it's okay. We got this. Today, my mother-in-law is best, my best friend. You know, they stress me. Oh. Duma don't know, say I'll be like, I'm myself, no, say we'll be like each other. We're good. But how did I do that? I filled up my water pot. I understood that this woman, when we're in covenant, let me tell you, covenant, people don't understand. Me and this man were in covenant. It means that we are one. So my mother-in-law is not my mother-in-law. She's my mother. We are one person. My mother is our, it's not, we now have mothers. It's our mother. So it's not really my husband's mother. It's not, the reason why you are still angry when she talks to you is because you say, he's my husband's mother, is telling me something. But your own mother will tell you worse and you will take it. Clap if you want clap. You know I'm telling you the truth. You know. God just ministered to somebody there. She won't clap. If you clap, you go do more. Clap. Nothing's happening. Clapping is free. Clap. When you clap, this will give you power to do it. The word. Fill your water pots with the word. And so when they drew from it, he said, take it to the master ceremony. The guy drank it. And then he called the bridegroom. He said, come. Say you did do this thing. Tell me how you did run this thing now. Other people will first of all bring out bad wine. When everybody's drunk, they'll now bring out the sweet one. He told him how the world normally does things. You see, in the world there, they do big wedding. They make a lot of noise on social media. Then as the years are going by, their marriages get worse. But in the kingdom, as the years are going by, our marriages get sweeter. So that tells me that if you do your marriage right, it's an opportunity for evangelism, which is exactly what God had in mind. Because everything he does is kingdom. He's interested in getting more people in the kingdom. If you can be in a marriage where your husband, when you married him, wasn't anything great, and today he's doing well, somebody would definitely ask you, come, tell me how you did run him. Opportunities for evangelism. So I'm praying today that many of us here today will make up our minds that from today, we will not just look at our marriages as ordinary, but as opportunities to minister. Everyone enters into marriage with water. We come with what can sustain us. But if you allow Jesus, he will turn it to wine. And what does wine do? Wine is for healing. Remember, Apostle Paul said, take a little wine for your tummy. So no matter what is happening, Jesus can give you a marriage that can heal you. Some point in time into marriage and they, when, if you see that, I wasn't like this when I got married. I wasn't like this at all. I would die first than to stand on a stage like this and be preaching. That they preach. I was so shy. But that's what marriage does for you. It will make you a better person. Marriage also is for honored guests. You bring out your friend, your children are doing party and their friends are around, maybe 5 to 6 year olds. You now bring out wine to serve them. It's not right being that you give them. So wine is for honor. And wine tastes better with time. And that's exactly what God wants to do with your marriage. He doesn't want you to carry water about. Once Jesus gets on the scene and you do what he tells you to do, your marriage will definitely get sweeter with time. And it will also be an opportunity to minister the gospel. So as I close this evening, I want us to rise to our feet and I want us to pray. I know that before now, you see, and a lot of us are at different stages. Some people don't invite, they don't even invite Jesus to their wedding. They are not interested. Some other people, they even try. They invite Jesus to their wedding. They do things right. They do all of that. There's some other people invite Jesus to the wedding, but there's a problem and they don't want to invite him back. Listen, in the multitude of counsel, there's safety. Mary gave counsel. Somebody must have come to Jesus that, there's no more wine at this wedding, no. This people want to disgrace you. She said, no worry, I got you guys. Don't worry. Not my son. I'll go and talk to him. He will do something. Some of you are at the stage where you need counsel. Don't be ashamed to ask for help. Don't be ashamed to ask for help. Your marriage must not deteriorate before you shout. If you are confused about something, ask. That's why the Bible says, let the older wives teach the younger ones how to love their husbands. There's room for mentoring. Ask questions, read books, get information. So after hearing this guy, you just don't be going home. Go and buy a book. Go home, sit with it. See it. Kyle, Secrets of Virtuous Woman. Ask yourself, what did this woman know that I don't know? What can I apply? That's what you do. And then some of you, and you really just need Jesus. You need to give Jesus the entire marriage. Because water self no day, water pot no day. Nothing. You just need to give Jesus the entire thing. So tonight I want you to pray. I don't know what stage you are in all these stages I've called. But one thing is important, that you invite Jesus, and whatever he tells you to do, you do it. So I want you to lift your hands to heaven today and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I release my marriage to you. I release my marital destiny to you. Whatever stage you are in, I want you to say, Father, I release it to you. I invite you now to take over. From even picking the wife, I give you free rein. From picking, help me make the decision. And now that I'm married, give me wisdom. Tell me what to do. And then ask the Holy Spirit for help. So that whatever he tells you to do, you will do it. Open your mouth and pray for yourself. I'm just going to do this for 1 minute. Just 1 minute. Malikato shatalia mahande kedisa. Imbrato kalishta kalia mande gede. Say, Father, I can't do it on my own. I can't do it on my own. I don't care how long you've been married. You still need Jesus. You still need him to help you. And there are some instructions he will give you. You need help. Say, Lord, I need help. I need help. Hey, masaka toza mali abraham negedishta. I receive your help today. Ah, kayele kita no kodu. I'm not even lying to myself that I can do this on my own. I need your help to love. I need your help to submit. Ah, Ladisha, I need your help to be patient. I need your help to be kind. I need your help to deal with in-laws. I need your help to deal with our finances. Hey, I need your help to forgive. He has hurt me so many times. I need your help, oh God. Hey, Brano Shatali Amande Gedisa. Hey, Yalekedisha Katolosa. Rebeke. I receive your help, oh God. My marriage must be a ministry. It must glorify you, oh God. It must minister to the lost. Oh, I receive your help tonight. I receive your help tonight. I know what to do. I'm not stranded. I receive instruction from you, and I receive the grace to do it in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. I thank you because I know that somehow you will take this message and break it into 1,000 pieces. So everyone will leave here with their own instruction. Lord, tonight we acknowledge that you are the only one that can make marriage sweet. So tonight we hand it into your hands. For those who are single, we trust you with making the choice for them. In the name of Jesus. For those who are married, Lord, we ask, oh God, that you will always, always be the head of that home. We ask, oh God, that even in the instructions you will give, you also give the grace to obey them. That we will be able to love. We will be able to submit. We will be able to forgive. We will be able to live right and honor you with our homes. In the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you because we know that as the years go by, our marriages will be sweeter and our homes will bring you glory. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Were you blessed this evening? Let's celebrate Jesus.